All right, so we'll begin. We're holding in Memoroim, Perek Ches, Chelek Aleph, Perek Ches, Ois Tes Vav. Ois Tes Vav. So what we saw last week, just to recap on the beginning of this Ois, was Yaakov Moshe's Mechalik between the tshuva of the Goyim and the tshuva of the Jewish people. The tshuva of the Goyim is in the Bechina of Haforas Baal, the idea of that the husband can break the vows of his wife. Right? So that's, just one second, that's called Megas Gaias, the Gemara says, right? It just cuts it off. Whereas, and that's the Bechina of the tshuva of the nations, where it doesn't do anything to the past, but from here on, you know, everything's good. There's nothing holding them back. In other words, that's their tshuva, that from here on they're good. But the tshuva of Yisrael is in the Bechina of Hataras the Dorim, which is where the Chacham, the Chacham uproots the promise, uproots the vow from its very start. So that retroactively there was never a neder made. So that's the same idea, that when a yid does tshuva, they've uprooted the sin. And certainly with tshuva me'ava, we know that tshuva me'ava actually turns the avera into a zchus, into like a mamish merit and mitzvah. But he says that even when it comes to tshuva me'ira, there's still this aspect that retroactively that avera is not there. So that's the and that's why he explains that the Jewish people have a chiyuv of charata. They have a chiyuv of regretting the past, besides accepting upon themselves not to do the avera in the future. Whereas the goyim, they are not required halachically for their tshuva to be accepted. They are not required to have charata, to have regret over their past. The ikar for them is just to take upon themselves not to do the chet again, and that's because, again, their whole tshuva doesn't really relate to the past. The past is gone by the guy, and he also adds that the fact that the past is gone for them actually it works to their benefit to a certain degree, in the sense that if somebody wants to convert to Judaism and elevate himself to that level of being a yid, so there he becomes a katan, ke katan shenayil adami. He becomes as if he's just been born, because the past is kibayachol cut off. It's gone already. He's starting from scratch, and that whole concept doesn't apply by a yid. By the yid, it's just the opposite. The yid is always connected to his past, and in that sense, he says that we know Chazal tells us that even if a Jewish person did an Avera, he's still considered a Yisrael, he's still considered a Ben to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because right, because they also have the past, and the past is always there, so we're always connected to our past. The past will be included, you know, from the moment of birth. So you're inherently Yisrael, you always remain Yisrael. There's no concept of kekatan shenoylad when it comes to the Jewish person. Rather, the tshuva cleanses and rectifies the problem from the root, even as far as the time goes. In other words, it's been misaking the past as if nothing wrong ever happened. And of course, with tshuva me'ava, it could even get to the point where something positive happened. That was go.
He's saying this in Rambam. Saying it on his own.
He's not saying this as pshat in the Rambam, but he's saying it on his own. But I do think he accepts the Rambam as the base. In other words, again, his whole distinction here between the tshuva of a yid and the tshuva of a guy is not written in the Rambam. Okay, but it does seem from his language that he doesn't see it as contradicted by the Rambam, but rather that the Rambam is just speaking on a basic level and not getting into the details of the he's not getting into the sugya. That's the way it seems he was learning. So now he makes a new point, a completely new point, that we're going to start today. This paragraph that begins, Vegam de Bichlal Tshuvasam Shel Yisrael, in the old print, it's page Kuf Ayin. You have the new print, Rishmo? Resh Ches in the new print. Okay. So he says, Vegam, another thing, he's bringing another difference between the Yid and the non-Jew. The Bichlal Tshuvasam Shel Yisrael Lo Yitachen Shelo Yegam Nitzotze Shel Ava. It's impossible when it comes to the tshuva of a Yid, it's impossible that there won't also be sparks of love somewhere in that tshuva. Even when a Yid does tshuva Meira, it's impossible that there's not some kind of sparks of Ava in there. Ki im kol hapgimot shnivgam echad miYisrael lo nifgima b'chinas ahava. Because with all the blemishes that a Jewish person can be blemished with, the bechina of ahava can never be blemished. Meaning, the aspect of love that a Jew naturally has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can never actually be can never really be blemished. What can happen is it can be covered up. Okay, it can be covered up with filth, so that you can't tap into it. Maybe you can't be aware of it. The person himself can't be aware of it. But that's an issue of self awareness. But the bechin of ava deep down there is somewhere in every yid. Va'af sha'taiva he misuge. What's that? In the new print, good, okay, Reish Ches, yeah. So he says that Afsha Taiva Himisuge Ha'ava. So he has this is really a question. He's really asking a question here. He's saying, what do you mean that the Ava can't be harmed, can't be injured, can't be blemished? Taiva, lust, is the misusage of Ava. It's directing one's love to something inappropriate. So that lechaira, if you're using inappropriately the midah of ava, that clearly is supposed to be a blemish on that midah. So says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. By the way, in the Sifrei Chassidus, for anybody that's familiar with the language in the Sifrei Chassidus, they refer to taiva, they refer to lust as the ava hanefula, fallen love. It's love that's been fallen down into the lower worlds, into the coarse physicality. So that's the taiva and ava are really the same, really coming from the same source, the same root. So there, that's a big question. Now the Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying, well, how could I say that ava, the ava of a yid, the love of a yid for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never blemished? You see that there's taivas that are inappropriate lusts, and that's stemming from ava, right? Your love, person loves physicality and love something that perhaps is even forbidden. Says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, Ein zu ha'ava ha'adina ha'chavuya amok amok b'lev kol echad miYisrael. That's a different ava. You know, that's an much more superficial, much lower external type of ava. I'm not talking about that. The ava that I'm talking about, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, is that subtle ava that's hidden deep down in the heart of every Jewish person. Now, parenthetically, he says, "Uvezeh shemati mipek kochish el avi adoni meyivir rabbi agoin atzadik schus yogin aleinu b'shem agoin hakadosh." That when he says that, he means Rav Hirsch Michal Shapira, Rav Yeshua Tzvi Michal Shapira, the author of the Tzitz Hakadosh, the Yisrakshus Alev, and the Sefer Tinkatzos. By the way, he was a Talmud. I'll just give you a little background information that the Bal Tzitz HaKodesh, Rav Yeshua Tzvi Michal Shapira, his name, he was referred to and known as Rav Hirsch Michal. My first son is named after him, also Yeshua Tzvi Michal, we call him Hirsch Michal. So he was a Talmud of the Zeis Ranan, who he's about to quote over here. Afterwards, he became a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. He made himself a Talmud of Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, but Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin held him in such esteem that when people would come to Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin to daven for them or ask them for a segula or ask them for, you know, help in some kind of tzara or medical thing, so Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin used to send them to Rabbi Shmichel Shapira. And he would say to them that I also go to Rabbi Shmichel if I need something. So that's you're talking about a very big person, and that was the Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Charlap's first Rebbe Muvuk. I mean, I guess his father was his first Rebbe Muvuk, but as far as the, you know, outside of his family, outside of his father, so his first Rebbe Muvuk was Rabbi Yeshua Tzvi Michal Shapiro, the author of Tzakadish, and afterwards Rav Kook. So here he's quoting what he heard from the Rebbe Shmichel, B'shem Magoin HaKadosh Baal Zeis Ranan V'Tiferes Yerushalayim. Oh, actually, I'll give you one more interesting biographical point. If you look at the beginning of the Shut Maril Diskin, the Shut of the Maril Diskin, so you see that there's I think if I remember correctly, it's a small letter, a small note in the beginning of the Sefer from Rabbi Yeshua, from Rabbi Shmichel Shapira, saying that the Ksavim were by me and they, like, I gave them the Ksavim, because the Ksavim apparently were by Rabbi Shmichel. It happens to be that I know that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Shmichel, as we said, he was very, very young, and he had a chavrusa with Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. I think he was 13, like in his last year of his life. And the point in the tafkid of that chavrusa was, Rabbi Yeshua Leib wanted to be chayzer, he wanted to review all his chidushei Torah. So he reviewed his ksavim with little Yaakov Moshe. That was the, and therefore the ksavim were actually really by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. But because he was a kid, so I guess then he was very close to Rabbi Shmichel, so I guess it was officially by Rabbi Shmichel. He was always with him. But that's an interesting point. So anyway, so Rabbi Yaakov Moshe quotes his Rebbe, Rabbi Shmichel, B'shem Agoin HaKadosh Baal Zeis Ranan V'Tiferes Yerushalayim Zatzal. He wrote two Sfarim, his Rebbe, the Zeis Ranan and Tiferes Yerushalayim. Tiferes Yerushalayim used to be printed in the back of a lot of the Mishnayos, Yochan Abayas. I don't know why, you know, they took it out, but Tiferes Yerushalayim was a sefer that answered up the kashas of Rabbi Kiva Eger. It's one of the, okay. So he says, Al Masha Amru Kol HaShe'orim Ninelu Chutz Mishari Dimo. We know famous Chazal, all the gates were locked, except, right, after with the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, all the gates were locked, except for the gates of tears. Mishum, so the Baal Zeis Ranan and Tiferes Yerushalayim explained this as follows. Mishum Shishare Dima Leinifgimu, because the gates of tears never were blemished, they never were injured. The Gambiz Mancha Adam Lahut Acher Avera, because even at a time where a person is wildly going after Avera, Loi Matsinu Sheyivke Aleo, we never find that he'll cry over it. Im Halcha Avera Mimeno. If he doesn't, he's not able to do the Avera. For some reason, something gets in the way, he's not able to do the Avera. We never find that the person cries over not being able to have carried out that Avera. So therefore, the gates of tears were never locked, because tears are never used for Avera. They're never used for Avera, so they've never been blemished, and therefore they remain intact. Those gates have never been closed, they remain intact. They are the best way to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion and have him, you know, the tefillahs that a person gives. If you tear and you cry, that's it. The gates are open. So that's... Okay. What's that?
It's that story in, I think, more of a story about, what's his name, the man who... was with Arizona and then he did
Cuba. Rebbe Elazar ben Dudaya.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He cried until his nefesh went out.
Right. Right. Yeah. So now he says, V'nimtza comes out. He was parenthetically saying this because it's similar to this idea that he's saying is that there's an ahava, there's a deep love in every Jew that's never been used in Avera. that deep love that's hidden in every Jew towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that level of love, that bechin of love has never been used. That subtle love that's never been used for Avera. So that connects to the same idea that he heard from his Rebbe regarding tears. V'nimtza, continues Rabbi Yaakov Meir, Nimtza comes out. D'ksheechad mi Yisrael shavet Hashem, when a Jewish person repents, comes closer to Hashem, returns to Hashem, afim nigzer lov minias tshuva, even if it was decreed upon him that tshuva should be prevented from him, lo nigzer lov ela mitzad habchinot hanifgamot shelo, the gzeira was only on the aspects that have been blemished, the aspects of that person that have been blemished, that have been used in avera. Aval mikevon shemitorel b'kibbo ez nitzot shel ava shelo nifgama, but once some spark of love that was never blemished is awakened inside of him, shuv lo yuchal lios nimna mimenu ora tshuva, so the light of tshuva can never be prevented from him. Shari nitzotzot eile lo yu b'chlal ha'gzeira, those sparks of love were never in the gzeira, they were never in the decree. The decree was only on the part of the person that did wrong, the part of the person that was included in the doing of that avera. V'hu inyan shenemar, and this is the inyan that it says al oisei tshuva, on those that do tshuva, shakadosh baruch hu chotel lo chatira mitachas kisei chvodoy, that kadosh baruch hu digs like a tunnel from underneath his throne. What's the idea? There's actually a tefillah that's printed in, especially in the Sephardi Sidurim, saying that Yiratzon, mitachas kisei chvoide, that bakasha of tshuva, in the bracha of tshuva, they say that a personal request that Hashem should, you know, dig a tunnel, so to say, under his kisei hakavod to bring him back in tshuva. So that's a lashon in Chazal. And Rabbi Yaakov Meir is explaining this idea of the tunnel. L'fi shenitzotzi ha'ava shalenichbu b'shum echad miYisrael, gluyim v'yedum rach kvoido yisbarg shmai bilvad. The sparks of love that were never extinguished in any Jewish person are revealed and known only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to kvoido yisbarg shmai bilvad. L'chein, therefore, me'oise ha'mokim sha'ava sham, from that place that the ava is there, Chavuya is hidden over there. Misham choter lo chatira mekabel b'tshuva. Anybody that learns Breslev, right? There's also the Rav Nachmi Breslev. Also, it's a famous tefillah of Nosson wrote of the that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should dig that way to the wherever the person is, as deep as he is, as low as he is. You know, that he'll dig in that hidden place and pull the yid up, allowing him to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to stir him to tshuva. So that's the pshat, says Rabbi Yaakov Meir. Dafka from that place where the love is hidden, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu over there digs into that, gets into that spot that's hidden, or makabel b'tshuva, and then he's makabel with tshuva.
Yes,
sir. Yeah.
It's really in the center what it says here.
Yeah.
It says, Yiratzon b'fanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu shetachzor chatira mitach kisei kovdecha la'adzir tshuva shema l'kol poshei amcha ben Yisrael.
Yeah, so that's the Nishkayach. Actually, the Nusach appears in a little bit different ways in different sidurim of the Sfaradim, but that nusach that comes from Chazal, shetachter chatirach mitachas kisei chvodecha, that's in all the nischayos. Yeah. Some shetachzireini, it should be machzer mi b'tshuva, and some that's just happening for others, but yeah, shkayach. Fine.
So I don't quite understand. Yeah. You could capsulate again exactly this last point.
So the last point is that this idea of a tunnel that Hashem has to dig to get to some hidden place, that hidden place is this hidden place of love that is in every yid. That's those sparks of love that have never been utilized and used in Avera, but they've never been manifested in the good way either necessarily, or they're at least now not manifested to the point that Be'etzim was decreed upon the person he can't do tshuva at all. But still, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu tunnels into that spot, he can get to that spot where you were untouched, that bechin of ava, that nitz of ava, that was never touched, never hurt, never blemished, and through that the person will be stirred to tshuva, or can do tshuva. The kiri doesn't apply to those, that part of the person, that deep part of the person, the truth, that the gzera doesn't apply to that person, to that part of the person. Okay?
What causes Hashem to want to tunnel into the person?
That's a very good question. So it could be the tefillos of a tzaddik. You know, it could be that, you know, the tzaddikim or the klal, all of us daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be machzir klal yisrael b'tshuva. We daven. So it could be that there's a tzaddik davening. Could be that there's a tzaddik davening specifically for that person. By the way, it's very important. If a person has, you know, family members or knows people, I daven. I have a list of people that I daven that tefillah that's printed in the Sephardi Siddurim. For that Hashem should be machzir them b'tshuva. It's very important because you can be the catalyst that be'etzim they would have no schus really on their own, but you might open up that pathway that Hashem will say, okay, listen, they're not doing anything, but this person is davening for them. You know, it could also be schus avos, maybe it could be the merit of some you know, some grandparent, great grandparent, parent. Who knows? We don't know. It could be different things, but. Okay, so v'zeu masha zeh masha amar, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. This is also what the pasuk says, the famous pasuk of the Haftarah of Shabbos Tshuva. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem elikecha. Return Yisrael ad Hashem elikecha. Uv'Rambam per gzay mitshuva alachavav. The Rambam explains gedolah. He's explaining the shuva Yisrael ad Hashem elikecha over here. Gedolah tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam. Veshchina, Shenemar, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam says, Shuva is so great that it's Makarev, it brings the person closer to the Shechina. As it says, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Right? So, the person can be brought up from this like very, very distant place all the way up to Hashem Elokecha. Venemar, it says, V'loi Shavtim Adeinu Mashem, that you didn't return yet to Hashem, all the way to me, says Hashem. V'nemar, and it says, "Im tashuv Yisrael ne'um Hashem elai tashuv." If you're going to return, so you return to me. Kloimar, im tachzor l'tshuva be sidbak. If you're going to come back in tshuva, you'll be cleaving to me. Hatshuva mikarevus es harechaykim. All this is from the Rambam. The tshuva brings the people that are far close. Emesh hayasanui lefnei hamakom. Yesterday he was hated before God. Mishukatz, despised. Umaruchak. Distance, v'toiva, an abomination. V'ayom hu ahu v'nechmad karov yedid. Today he is loved, you know, sought after, desired, close and a friend. V'chein ata motzeh, and so you find shebrashon shekadosh baruch hu marchik et hachataim, with the same lashon, the same language, shekadosh baruch hu distances the sins, but mekarev es hashavim, or the sinners. With that he brings closer those who repent, ben yachid ben rabim, whether it's an individual, whether it's the masses. Shneimar, as it says, v'hoyo b'mokei masha yoimar lo ami atem, instead of what he said, that you are not my nation, yoimalem b'ni kelchai, he'll say to them, you're my children of the living God, ayin sham, v'chol ze shaykh b'Yisrael dafka. All this is shaykh dafka in Israel. Okay, so this is like a new point, that, you know, the first point he made in this parak was, again, that our style of tshuva, our ability of tshuva, is to go back to a point where we can uproot, as opposed to as uproot from the source, from the original point in time. As opposed to the guy, that they don't have that ability. That was one distinction he made between the tshuva of a yid and the tshuva of a guy. And now the second point is that even when the yid gets to that terrible point, chas v'shalom, that he might have it decreed upon him, like the Rambam says, right? He might have it decreed upon him, not that he can't do tshuva. That is only going to affect the parts of him that were involved in the chet. But there's a very, very deep part of a yid that has sparks of love that's always unaffected and untouched by any of the filth and any of the averis that the person is involved in. And from there, a person can still do tshuva, because the decree never was on that point, was never on those sparks of love. That's a beautiful, beautiful point. Now he says, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Vayter, Vihine, be Mishnah Perek Dalet Da'avos. In the Mishnah, in the fourth parak of Avos, Yafe Sha'achas B'tshuva, Uv'maseim Tovim Ba'ilam Hazeh Mekol Chayilam Abah. Right, we find that 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds in Olam Hazeh is more worth it, so to say, than all the life of Olam Haba, which is amazing, right? V'yafe Sha'achas Kairis Ruach Ba'ilam Habah Mekol Chayilam Hazeh. And 1 hour that you spend, right, so pleasantly spent in Olam Haba, is better than all the life of Olam Hazeh. But you know, you take the whole life put together in Olam Hazeh, however much good and however much pleasure a person might have had is nothing. It doesn't even equal 1 hour that's spent in Olam Haba. Ubir Adavar. You know, I don't know if Shah necessarily means hour, or just means like a moment. I'm not sure if it's a quantified time. I don't know. I'm always have a suffix about that. In any case, the idea is clear. Ubir Adavar. The explanation of this is, how could it be that 1 hour of tshuva and good deeds in Olam Hazeh is better than all life of Olam Haba? Also, what does it mean, yafe shachas in tshuva? Ulam, hine im navay lachar is a davar hu shemekablim. And this he's going to tell us now. This is mamish, a big yisoid, a big psychological yisoid over here. Is if we're going to be chayker, we're going to investigate, we're going to, you know, really be ma'ayin into ezed dover hu shemekablim emenu as a tainug ha'yoyser gadol. What is the biggest pleasure that a person gets? V'asher bavuro yidchu kol yeser ha'tanugim, and that for that tainug, for that pleasure, all other pleasures will be pushed off. You give him a choice between these two types of pleasure, any two types of pleasures, right? There's one type of pleasure which is going to be is more important for anyone. The person prefers that pleasure than any other pleasure. Vehein omnam, and it's true, ki es tanugi olam hazeh, asher chazal me'idim aleim shi'of ha'shachas ba'olam haba mikol chayilam hazeh, right, that all the pleasures of olam haba that chazal testify is 1 hour of that, or 1 moment, 1 shah of that in olam haba is more worth it, is better than all the life of olam hazeh. But we don't know from that good, right? That good of Olam Haba, we can't relate to it because we're physical people. Nevertheless, in other words, he's saying it's very hard. How are we gonna chop this? How can we understand what Bechlal Chazal is telling us if we're so removed from the whole concept of Olam Haba? Our whole life and our whole concept of pleasure is so physically related. Nevertheless, as Rabbi Moshe, after iunadikhetev, after delving into this and in very careful insight, nimtza we will find ki atainuk shemargish kol yotzer be'et shemagia litzor yitzira chadasha hu hatanuga yoter gadol. The pleasure that a person feels, any person who creates a new creation. Right, he does something. He brings something new into the world. It could be a song. It could be a piece of literature. It could be a table. Whatever it is, that the person, something new that a person created, hu hatanuga yoter gadol. That is the biggest pleasure. V'zafil biyitzirah she'en b'chidush shel yitzirat yesh ma'ayin. And this is true even of a creation or formation that's not something that's forming something yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. V'yicholim, right? Even you just take something, you know, it's a well-known thing. You give a lot of boys that have difficulties in learning, or bechlal, difficulties in sitting, or difficulties in life. So one of the things that they do is give them to build things with their hands. Give them to do something with their hands. Is that every person wants, There's something very deep in a person that wants to create, that wants to do. And that comes, by the way, from the Tzelem Elokim. We are B'Tzelem Elokim, and we saw this in Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. The same way Hashem is a creator, man has a natural need to create, a natural need to produce. And if a person is not producing, there's nothing more debilitating than a person that's not able to produce. Nothing more depressing. So a person, you give a person something to do with their hands, and if it's somebody that's intellectual, you know, finds them the way to intellectually produce, the ability to produce, the ability to feel like you're doing something, you're accomplishing something. The accomplishment is that you've done something, you've produced something, and that is the biggest tiny, the deepest tiny, the deepest need really that there is in a person's nefesh. And he says that's
Just make a suggestion.
Yes.
It could be the best point is that it's the process of going beyond yourself. You're not caught up in self, you're giving, you don't belong, which is really what chesed is about, and really why we can say that the greatest pleasure is when you resolve the doubt, because you're stuck in a place, now you've gone beyond that particular place. There's just another one point that connects us, that we do have a connection in spiritual point of view, is when you're filled with the love of Hashem. And when you're doing that which you know Hashem wants you to do, there's nothing else that you should be doing right at this moment but this particular point. Like an oval is sitting in a bonus, and he knows there's nothing else he can do now but do what he's doing. Then he's filled with a certain time of which is, I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do. And that connects him to the higher level. So it's just a suggestion that I want to put across.
Yeah, so you made two statements just now, right? So the first one is very beautiful, very, very correct. The idea of producing, of course, is that we are able to go outside of ourselves. We're able to, you know, branch out, expand, and that's part of the ability. We had this in the past, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. It's like a part of becoming like Ein Sof in a certain sense. You know, you're like you've pushed the boundaries. You've pushed yourself further, and that's something which we have a very deep need for, based on the fact that we have that Tzelem Elokim. That is true. And the second point you're saying is another point that's
that. Well, I'm saying that when you know that the tie to that first point is just the ability to know that when you've resolved the doubt. That's why we say the greatest pleasure is when you've resolved the doubt, because you've gone beyond being stuck.
Right.
In a particular point, and you've broken through that.
Right.
But the second point that I was making is that when you all know that you're doing exactly what Hashem wants you to do, you know at this point that's what it is. Let's say theoretically you know this is what you're meant to do. Then there is a pleasure in that, because you're aligning yourself, then you're abutting yourself to the Rotzon Hashem.
Right.
And when you do that, then there's an incredible pleasure from that. Because again, it's the same point, you're going beyond yourself.
Exactly.
You're doing what Hashem wants you to do.
Right. Okay, very good. Shkayach. Shkayach on the Yara. So there, let's go right over here and see how he's, you know, we interjected a little bit here just to explain this point, but he's continuing with this. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, again, so that tainuk shemargish kol yotzer, that pleasure that every creator feels, be'et shemagia litzo yitzirah chadasha, when he comes to create something new, that's the biggest pleasure possible. And that's even when it comes to creation of something, something from something that doesn't have the newness of, you know, of Yesh Me'ayin. Now, based on that, we can only just, you know, try to like estimate, you know, try to imagine how great and exalted is the pleasure of creating something from nothing. And that's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had a tremendous satisfaction at the time that he created the world. And he said, Olami, Olami, my world, tamid. I only wish that you would always bring up to me the charm, right, the favor before me. Like I find you so charming and so, you know, so beautiful now at this moment. And so to call Ben Torah, every Ben Torah Yodea knows, umargish and feels, that the moment that's most praiseworthy by him, שמתחדש לו בדבר בתורה, is that moment when he zoicha, when he merits that something in Torah becomes new to him. V'agam she'onegahu, right? When he chap something new, it doesn't even have to be necessarily his own chiddush. You learn something new. Of course, kol shekein, when you get your own chiddush, something that's mischadishtim. I think that here he's talking about your own chiddush, probably. She'mischadish lo ba davar b'torah. That's such a gevaldig oneg. V'agam she'onegahu eino nimshach lezman rav. Now, even though that oinig doesn't continue for a long time, you know, wears off, zel mipnei, that's only because shachrei shegamar lechadesh, chadal meliyot yotzer. When he finished being mechadesh, he stopped being a yotzer. He stopped creating. Ubevrayim haya metziut lamshichat echidush belo chidlalon. For sure, if it was possible, if there was such a metzias to continue the chidush without stopping, lo haya gam haoinig nifsek v'nechtal, then the oinig also would never be stopped. And by the way, the Goyin says that is what the Sudas Lev Yosin is about. The Goyin says that it's having Chidushe Torah non-stop. So therefore you're having never-ending Simcha. That's what the Goyin says. Normally Simcha stops. Because Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is explaining here. Because you stop creating. But in Olam HaBa, there's not going to be a stopping. It's going to be non-stop Chidushe Torah. And for this reason, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the sweetness, the pleasantness of his servants and his trustworthy or faithful children, he wanted to give us that taste of having, of being able to create Yesh Me'ayin, something from nothing. That's therefore he gave us his Torah, Shekoyach Yetzira Bekirboy, which has the power of creation in it, Kimay Bereshis Barabas Olam, that's why he at the beginning of time created with it the world, Uchshanu Medubakimba, and when we are attached to that Torah, Vekiuma Olamim Al Yadenu, and the worlds are being Mikuyim, are existing through us, B'mashanu Lomdim Et HaTorah, through what we are learning the Torah, right? Because through our learning the worlds continue, Nucha Lizkos Litoy Mimena, then we're able to taste from it. Gam tam shel yotzer yesh me'ayin, we're able to taste from the Torah that taste of creating something from nothing. V'kasha kol achra'ata shel Torah bo'il mazev olei b'shamayimi, and being that all the decision making, deciding of the Torah has to be done here in olam hazeh. When there's a machlokes, we have to paskan halacha down here. It's not in shemayim like Chazal tell us. You get ruach hakodesh, it doesn't necessarily help. You got to be able to prove it. You got to be able to make your case down here. So it comes out, since Lo B'Shamayim, since the Torah has to be decided and down here, that means that where is that time of Yesh Me'ayin going to be felt? Where is that time of creation? It's all down here in Olam Hazeh. Sheshama Torah Nitna Nesuna, for the Torah is given over here in Olam Hazeh. So because of that, it's really so that one moment of tshuva and ma'asim tovim in olam hazeh is more worth it than all the life of olam haba. The ability to create yesh me'ayin, that taste, to taste that's only here in this world and not in olam haba. Olam haba is where you get the schar, is you're receiving, but you're not moving, you're not creating. Even the Sudas Lev Yosin, by the way, is lasad lava by Chiyas HaMeis, is not part of olam haba. It's a part of what we call Yemei HaMashiach. I think we could do the next paragraph to finish off this point. So too, hashav b'tshuva. Otherwise, we're living mamish, leaving it in the middle. Hashav b'tshuva be'emes uvatam. The same thing as with the person who does tshuva really truthfully and holy. Matimim lo tam shel yotzer. Min ha-shamayim, they give him the taste of formation, of creation. Didi be'emes echuta tshuva ech mo'ila. Because really, how does the quality of tshuva help? How is it possible to bring back what was already done, to like take away what was already done? Rewind. What's the difference between this and a guy who eats poison? He ate poison, finished. There's nothing to do. But because the yisoid of the benefit of tshuva is that through tshuva, you mamish become new. It's like getting up b'tchias ha-meisim. Vavimamish yitzira chadasha kilu chatu meolam. It's mamish, a new creation, as if they never ever sinned. Ubechein efo nachona davar. So really, this is correct. It is so. Shashav beemet, the person who really does tshuva properly, margish bo b'tshuvato noam shel yitzira. He feels in his tshuva the sweetness of creation. Therefore, that is so much beautiful in all the life of Olam Haba. And since the foundation of tshuva is to become anew and to taste that taste of creation, for sure that's specifically designated to the Jewish people only. Because all the Jewish people have a chelik, and the world was only created on behalf of the Jewish people, that are called racious, and for the Torah, which is called racious. And on that, about that, it said, this is only for you, no foreigners have a portion with you. That ability of creation of like Yesh Me'ayin, Yitzirus Yesh Me'ayin, that's us, that's what Hashem gave us through the Torah. He gives us that beautiful tam, it's part of his ava, and that's the beauty of tshuva, and the tremendous feeling of tshuva is that you mamish were mechaya mesim, you brought yourself alive, you mamish made yourself, you know, you're reborn, and that's a gevald. So this is a gevaldig chizik, what to get out of limud Torah, what we get out of tshuva, maisim tovim. It's the koich of ischachus, it's the koich of yitzira. And that's something we have to understand of ourselves, and also to try to convey to others, and try to help others get that feeling. Try to help others get. I always say in when I give shiurim and different, like it depends what kind of a shiur, but I'll ask a question and I'll ask the participants to give answers, because if they're not gonna become the creator, if they're not going to attempt and try to give their own answers. Not only I do it for the reason that they're not going to know in the future how to apply the derech halima that you're trying to give over. I think it's very important. Teaching, it shouldn't be just about giving over knowledge. It should be giving over the tools that people can go further and advance their own knowledge and be mechadish on themselves. But that's the real beauty of Torah that you need to give over to others, to your children, is that taste of creation, is the taste of accomplishment that comes over with the Torah and tshuva, ma'aser tov, and bezras Hashem. We should be zeicha to live with that feeling and convey it to others as well. Any questions or ha'aris?
I have a question. We were saying that through Abba, that's how you get to tshuva, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those things. I wonder if that's, and you can like direct your Abba, because I wonder if that's what it. We have Yitzchak as Esau, that he loves Esau, you wanted to have that hava through that to you know that
you're saying that, what do you mean by that like Dafka, his love for Esau was in order to like tap into that Bechina of love, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, so I kind of like direct like here, this is, I'm sending you some you know, love to get you onto the right mahala.
Interesting. I'll tell you, there's a beautiful thing besides that. This is also something which I saw Rav Yaakov Moshe Chalap, but I saw it in other, it's really brought down in other sfarim in different types of ways, but we're going to read Parshas Toldos now, right? So we started reading Kitzayid Befiv. It says that V'yev Yitzchak es Esav Kitzayid Befiv. What is it? Like, oh, he gave him tasty meat? Like, great, wonderful. That's what Yitzchak is about. So we actually, I think we once learned a little bit from the Reino Avram Ben Rambam on this in a different Mahalach. But says Rav Yaakov Moshe, Kitzayid Befiv, is that there was trapped in the mouth of Esav the seeds for Torah Shebal Peh, in the head of Esav. Esav, who comes from Esav? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir. They were Gerim, or children of Gerim. Okay? So, the Rabbi Meir we know is Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Akiva, Halacha Rabbi Akiva, Keneged Cha Veiroi, right? So they are the seeds of Torah Shebal Peh that we have, is Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Meir, and they come from Esav. Kitzayid Befiz is a remez to the fact that Torah Shebal Peh, Befiv in his mouth, Torah Shebal Peh is concealed, is hidden there in Esav. And that's why, by the way, his head was buried in Maras Machpelah. because the seat of Teresh Baal Peh is the Seichel, is the head, and that was Shaykh to Klal Yisrael, that was Shaykh to the Avos, and therefore that had to be buried together with the Avos in Maris and Machpelah. Since you brought up Esav,
and why would you look for that?
What's that?
That already is
because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him to be that. That the Esav Ochli Yaakov, right? The pasuk says that Esav and Yaakov are brothers, meaning really that they're brothers, and from both of them has to come out the final plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Esav, for whatever reason, was mitkalkel in his own lifetime, but the seeds within him, we know, he still had kibud av ve'em. I'm going to just add to this. Right, that was his beauty of kibud av ve'em. By the way, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's son, Rabbi Chil Michal Chalap, Rav Shurkin brings it in Megid Givus Olam. I think he said he told this over to one of his rebbeim, maybe it was Rabbi Aaron Cutler. I don't remember. And then he was mishabech it very much that kitzayv. Oh, maybe Rabbi Yaakov Moshe actually says it. I don't remember if it was Rabbi Yaakov Moshe or Rabbi Chil Michal. I'm sorry, but he says that kitzayv afiv is that he. Why did he give the baser to Yaakov? He was kibud av ve'em. So what he tasted was the kedusha of that mitzvah of kibud av. The kedusha of the mitzvah of kibud av was what Yaakov tasted. What was it? What Yitzchak tasted. So that's a stam. It's another nekuda. But the point that I'm just going to add that we know Torah Shebal Peh works through Mesorah. Moshe kibul Torah Mesina Yemasra Yeshua. The whole purpose of Meseches Avos starts with Mesiris HaTorah is because Torah Shebal Peh has to develop through the Mesorah of Rebbe to Talmud, or if you want to say it another way, father to son. Father to son, Rebbe to Talmud, the same Bechina. So it could be that Esav's Koyach of Kibud Av Ve'em is the most beautiful backdrop, is the most beautiful and necessary ingredient which allows Teresh Baal Peh to come out of him, because it's mamish the mitzvah of Kedusha's Kibud Av which would set it sets that backdrop for Torah to be given over from generation to generation. Okay.
Well, yeah. It's not the mamash like of Sadek says this.
Yeah.
Mamash. Maybe I'm confusing you, but I'm pretty sure it sounds like some of the Sadek.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Especially about the Teresh Baal Peh, I have no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you probably right. I think I actually remember something also from Rebbe Tzadik in Teresh Baal Peh. It appears in a few different forms. This kind of Shlo, if I remember correctly, Shlo also talks about maybe that Rizal also. Okay, but the you know each one says like with a little bit of a different nuance, a little different. Okay, very good. A good luck.
Can I ask you? Yeah. Question?
Yeah.
Just to understand the Mishnah. Are we saying that the girl is chayyim with the girl? So the girl said that every moment is a chiddush, and he was saying that the chiddush is only in Adam Hazer.
No, that's why I mentioned that. That's why I was actually answered that question. That the Goyin is talking about the Sudas Lev Yosin. The Sudas Lev Yosin is not Olam Haba. The Sudas Lev Yosin is in Yemais HaMashiach, which is still in this world. It's still Olam Hazer. Yeah.
But they said that the whole Hamnoah, what is Hamnoah of Olam Haba is not Chiddush, because I understood that the Hamnoah of a person is a curse of Chiddush, but now we're saying that we know Chiddush. What is that? You have to call it your Olam Haba Mikol Chayim. What does that mean then? And what is the Hamnoah of Olam Haba if it's not Chiddush?
The taste of. So for Maisa, you actually have a very good question. That's actually you actually have a very good question. Maybe this is your question. I'm not sure. Otherwise, I'm gonna ask a question. But first of all, let me just get what we said so far. What we said is that the tasting of the ability to produce in Torah and produce in Tshuva Maisim Tovim that we have only here in Olam Hazeh, because up in Shamayim, so to say, and Olam Haba, it seems Rabbi Yaakov Moshe here is like learning is like an inyan of Shamayim, so relative Shamayim, so you wouldn't have it over there. So therefore, Yofesh Sha'achas over here in Olam Hazeh, Mikol Chayil Haba, because in Chayil Haba, you're Kiviyochel, you're just receiving from Hashem the Schar, but you're not actually going weiter, you're not doing Avoid over there, you don't have that ability to create over there, you can't do anything new over there. So that's what Rabbi Yakimovich said. And that, to that I answered, as far as the Goyin says, the Goyin is describing the simcha that's going to be by the Sudas Levyasin, which is in Olam Hazeh, and therefore it's, it has nothing to do with Olam Haba, and therefore it's not a steer to Rabbi Yakimovich says here. Okay? Now, what can be asked, and it's a legitimate question, which I don't know, we have to maybe try to think how to be Miyash Rabbi Yakimovich, is that the Mishtilsi Sharm we know starts off straight off the bat saying that the place of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us pleasure, and the place of that ultimate pleasure is an Olam Haba, and Olam Hazeh is only a pruzdor, is only a hallway to get to Olam Haba. So that is a good question, because then would come out like, how does that work with the Yafa Shachas in Olam Hazeh over Olam Haba? So what I would normally, what I would answer is that what you're getting, the pleasure you're getting in Olam Haba, is like the reward itself is that taste of the yetzirah that you did when you were in Olam Hazeh. In other words, what you taste is the beauty of that creation. That's what you're tasting when you're in Olam Haba. The problem with that is, so then Hadra Kushla Duchta, the Kasha comes back. So why then is a moment in Olam Hazeh better than Olam Haba? Why is a Shah in Olam Hazeh better than all of Olam Haba? You're getting the moment. So maybe you can answer, is that nevertheless, it's here you're mamish doing it. Whereas opposed to in Olam Haba, you might be getting that pleasure, but it's maybe it's not the same pleasure automatically, since it's not the moment that you're actually doing it. You're not actually formations. There might be like different, I'm saying there might be like kind of different degrees in that te'ima, in that taste of creation. Here in Olam Hazeh, you taste it as you're formating, as you're creating. That's something which you can't, will not get in Olam Haba. On the other hand, you will get a taste of creation. You know, you'll get like a hispashtus of that te'ima in Olam Haba, and that's why it's so pleasurable in Olam Haba. That's in order to be Miyash Rabbi Yakimovich, I think maybe we could say that Mahalach.
Maybe you can say something else, that the Olam Haba is only cocooned to the momentum of Olam Hazeh. So, you know, it touches in a moment in Olam Hazeh, it's kind of called Olam Haba, because the Olam Haba would be completely different. And you can't change the momentum when he's out there already.
You're saying it's going.
Because he grows in Olam Haba, as much as he's growing in this, the quicker he, the more mitzvahs he's doing, the more momentum he has.
So what are you trying to say? What do you mean by momentum? So it's going to affect the whole Olam Haba?
So, yes, for example, your first shachas, it doesn't mean that, no, it means that the moment you have in this world is going to be greater than the whole Olam Haba, because every moment in this world speeds up the momentum of Netzach.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mitzvahs.
I agree with that as a perush, but it doesn't sound to me like Rabbi Yakimovich is working within that framework of explanation, at least over here. Yeah. Okay, very good. Shkayach. Good to see everyone. Okay. Shalom.